What's up? Going in a little different direction. Thanks for tuning in. Decided that I'm going to drop the whole Matrix, persona, and do, a little bit of a rebranding. To give a little backstory, the reason why I adopted, you know, the whole Matrix is real type thing is about, 10, 15 years ago when Instagram first became a thing, and I think it was even before Facebook officially bought it. I was one of the first big accounts on the platform. I was going through a personal time where I started pulling back the curtain, piercing the veil, so to speak, and seeing the world as it really is, you know, as opposed to living in this like almost artificial bubble reality that we've all kind of been raised with, particularly in the West and the United States. But I really started to see things as they were. And part of what made my account on Instagram so great back then was I was willing to take on topics and speak my mind on all these, you know, interesting things that I was just like learning about for the first time. I'm talking about the history of the Federal Reserve, a lot of these quote conspiracy theories that are actually rooted in a lot of fact. And I shared it with the world. And this was at a time when the internet was still cool, in my opinion. There's actually a theory called dead internet theory that basically says around the late, 2000s, early 2010s, that the internet basically got hijacked and taken over by AI, essentially. I don't know if you remember how things used to be, but on Instagram, for example, this is before there was the videos, at least how they are now, is mainly, you know, Instagram. It was pictures. And this was when people really first started doing the more typical thing. They would share, you know, a picture of the food they were going to eat, or take random pictures hanging out with friends and this and that. There was nothing quite like a quote influencer back then. There weren't people that were getting paid large sums of money to post videos, and a lot of these celebrities weren't even on the platform yet. And if they were, it just wasn't the same. So dead internet theory basically says that when a lot of these social media companies, these tech companies, started introducing these complex algorithms, which an algorithm is basically just a very complicated, complex mathematical equation that you can program for pretty much almost any purpose. They started putting these algorithms, it started with Netflix, if I remember correctly. Netflix was offering a $1 million reward to anyone that could come out with a algorithm that could more accurately suggest movies that you would like based on your viewing history. So that was like the first one. And then we got into social media, we got into Instagram, Snapchat, started these algorithms started learning how we would interact with the platform, what we liked, what we didn't like, what we would engage in, what we wouldn't, what we'd comment on, all that stuff. And the theory goes is that when they kind of clicked all these algorithms on, they started learning at such a fast rate that a lot of what we perceive as real interactions online are anything but. I read a study that somebody had done that they analyzed a lot of the different most popular tweets, which, by the way, I think it's funny how Elon Musk rebranded Twitter as X, but you still go to twitter.com. Or people still refer to it as Twitter. But anyways, they analyzed some of the top most viral tweets, and they realized that a lot of these tweets seem to have one thing in common. They were verbatim, word for word, the same basic post. And they're coming from these accounts that have large followings, but it seems like everyone or everything that's following them is some sort of bot of some kind. So basically, to sum it up, the theory goes is that we had the internet, you know, with people interacting, and then at some point we started switching on all these AI, or they're not technically AI, but all these algorithms online. And since then, it's almost like we're now discussing things in a bit of a vacuum. It's just there's not really much conversation going on, and I can vouch for this. I remember back when, so I never really fully explained. My Instagram account was called The Matrix Is Real, and I had about 250,000 followers at the height of my account. I would regularly get DM'd and messaged via comments saying, "You've got the best, if not one of the best accounts on Instagram." And I really tried never to let it get to my head. I'm not gonna say I invented the word Instafamous, but I that's how I kind of thought of myself back then. Is I've got this huge following, and people seem to respect what I say, but what power is there really? You can certainly monetize social media, especially these days, but back then it was like a cult following. There was, yeah, okay, people are listening to what I have to say, they're reposting what I have to say, but as I would later find out, there really was nothing there. And if anything I actually kind of regret how active I was on social media, because I'll be honest, I neglected my family. Maybe neglect's the wrong word, but I wasn't as present. That's a better word. I wasn't as present with my family as I wish I would have been back then. And not to say I wasn't present with them. I consider myself to be a great family man and very active with my kids. But, you know, if you're not fully present at all times, that's something you can definitely improve on. And that's what I wish I would have done. So anyways, dropping the persona, I'm going to stop calling myself Neo. My name is Anthony, and please don't call me Tony. Every Tony I've ever met in my life, I've never liked. A friend of mine at the gym, I said the same thing to, and he goes, "Well, what about Tony Robbins?" And I quickly responded, "Well, I've never met Tony Robbins. You want to hook it up?" But yeah, please don't call me Tony. I prefer Anthony. Like I said, I had been doing Instagram for a long time. And I guess I'll explain what happened. So late 2019, this is around, I think, November, December, I started hearing about some weird virus that was coming out of China. And it was weird because it seemed to be very, you know, very lethal and spreading very fast. But there was a massive, just information blockout of what was going on, to the point where I can't remember the doctor's name, but this was a guy, I'm speaking about COVID. This was a guy, one of the doctors out there, that really started to supposedly tell the world how deadly this thing was. And he was being covered up by the Chinese government. And he, I think, mysteriously died. He got sick, and, you know, and this is also, remember back then, whatever happened to those videos of all the people in China just dropping dead. You know, that never materialized, but they definitely scared the world that way. So I started hearing about this in late 2019, mainly from a website that I follow, which has ballooned in recent years to something. I was following them when they first began. I believe it was in 2011-ish, but zerohedge.com. I really respect the Tylers over there. Tyler, they post all their posts on the website are under the not acronym, but the alias Tyler Durden from Fight Club. And so I got a lot of respect for what they do out there. I'm not going to say that I fully agree with every position they have, which, you know, that's life. But maybe 10 years ago, I definitely idolized is one of the you know, best descriptive words, I would say. But in recent years, I've just realized that, like any person on this planet, we all have our flaws. We all have our own ignorance. And I really appreciate what they do, because they bring a lot of the news that nobody else is ever talking about. And it's all, I would say, 99% accurate. I got started on Alex Jones, like many other people. And I've come to the conclusion that Alex Jones is controlled opposition. As much as he seems to try to call out Israel about what it's doing today in general, and he very much seems to be an apologist for them. So I don't listen to Alex Jones anymore. I haven't for years. He's just the type that he, with controlled opposition, he makes you think that he's actually fighting the bad guys, when he's actually just on their, he's on a leash by the same people. So I was going somewhere with this whole story. So my account, Instagram. So I was getting a lot of my information from Zero Hedge. And I think it was early 2020, maybe December 2019. But that was when Zero Hedge first started talking about the possibility of COVID not originating from the bat soup at the market, you know, but it was actually likely a lab leak, whether intentional or accidental. And they started reporting on it. They were suspended temporarily for quite a while on Twitter. And I wasn't on Twitter at the time, but the same thing happened to me. Very quickly, I realized I was adding, you know, any given day, anywhere between a couple hundred to a couple thousand followers a day. And all of a sudden, that just seemed to like grind to a halt. And it was almost like I was being throttled in terms of followers. I'd be at 225 and it'd go up to 230 and then it'd drop back down to 225-ish. And then I'd go up to 226 and then drop down to 225. Like, it was always hovering. I went from 250 to about 225,000. And then it was just always up and down, up and down, up and down. My reach seemed to be drastically diminished. I went from having, I would say, anywhere a good post, anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000 likes and a lot of comments to, if I was lucky, cracking 500. And I remember saying this back then, as I was convinced that, and this is all me rambling, but tying it into dead internet theory. I remember saying back then that a lot of the people I was engaging with online almost seemed like they were disinformation agents, that they were federal, likely federal agents that were on, you know, DHS or FBI payroll, that were their marching orders were to engage with certain types of people online and to hit them with specific tactics to either discredit them and have them say something that you can then use against them, or just to drain them from an energy standpoint, you know, or to make them not want to do what they're doing anymore because they are a problem. And I remember back then when I talked about it, people said, you're a paranoid conspiracy theorist and stuff. But what do we learn about COVID? It's exactly what has been happening in this country and all over the world, I imagine, for many, many years. And COVID kind of, that it was the lawsuit, I believe, that the Louisiana Attorney General launched or something against the federal government. But we learned that the White House and various, you know, the agencies like the CDC were literally, you know, having meetings with Facebook and Twitter to go over how they were going to police thought and speech. So that's where I am today. I was shadow banned. And then I was permanently banned. I tried to deactivate my account because I needed a break from... I'd been doing it for several years. I needed a break from it. And when the way that Instagram works, I don't know if you've ever deleted an account, but when you either deactivate an account or delete an account, they give you a grace period, basically, to reactivate it. You just have to log back in. And I remember when I deactivated my account, I didn't delete it. I deactivated my account. When it had the splash page, you know, you've been logged out successfully. Instead of saying that, it said, let me back up. I hit that page later. I was maybe a day later or something. I was not regretting the decision, but you know, a big decision like that, I'm not ready, you know, something like that. So I logged back in, and that's when I get hit with the splash page and it says, "We're sorry, your account has been permanently deleted due to a violation of our terms of use." So I willingly deactivated my account only to try to reactivate it, and then got hit with a, you know, your account's been deleted entirely because you broke a rule. I appealed, I wrote in to them, and again, sometimes it feels like this by design, but I didn't get any responses or answers, and the account just stayed deactivated and dead. And then, weirdly enough, a couple months later, I see an account with the exact same name. The Matrix is real. And there's a term in poker, mainly in Texas Hold'em, when you lose, a good hand, you're on tilt afterwards. Your emotions are running high. They're affecting your judgment. They're affecting your instincts. And that's the perfect, you know, opportunity for you to make poor choices because you're on tilt. You're not thinking straight. So that's where I was. And I just very quickly realized that there seemed like to be some sort of concerted effort to silence me. So I'll be honest, the account, I had become somewhat of a persona and identification, and I kind of bounced around in and out of social media after that. Is not only was it very obvious that people were being censored for their opinions and views and what they were talking about, but going back to that internet theory, it was almost like it was an echo chamber where I was kind of almost talking to myself, and that's basically where we are today. So why did I decide to just ditch the persona and just do it as myself? Well, I'll tell you. Tucker Carlson just gave a interview recently. I believe it debuted today with Russian President Vladimir Putin. And I remember hearing about this last year. He gets a call or somebody gets contacted, and the person calling says, you know, are you planning to interview the Russian President Vladimir Putin? And Tucker Carlson goes, who is this? How do you know that? I haven't even told my wife this. I haven't told anybody. And they said, well, we pulled it from your Signal messaging app. You were talking to somebody about it. Signal, if you're not aware, is a end-to-end encrypted, secure, supposedly, messaging app like Telegram. And somehow, despite, you know, not really telegraphing or advertising to anyone that he was doing this, somehow the feds knew about what he was doing and they hacked his phone, essentially. So if somebody like Tucker Carlson not only can be in the crosshairs of surveillance, but can successfully have encryption unencrypted, basically, and wiped clean so they can read exactly what you're saying or typing or listen to what you're saying, then what chance does a relative no-name, you know, somebody like me or any of these other people online, why do we think we're special that even if we take precautions, they're not going to know? So I'm not going willy-nilly out and want to advertise my life and everything about it, but I'm a faithful person, and ultimately my faith is my shield. If I was put on this planet to do God's work, as you know, so many of us in this world believe, then God is ultimately the last line of defense, and specifically faith in God. God's not going to give tasks to his servants that they're not capable of achieving. So that's exactly where I am. Now, what direction am I going to take this podcast in? I've done a lot of thinking about it, and it seems like the past like couple of months, ever since October 7th, I really... Truth be told, the situation between Israel and Gaza is, in my opinion, the most important issue of the day, hands down. Why? It's not even the mass killing of children in Gaza, of women, you know, civilians. The Israelis literally acting like modern day Nazis, and that's not an exaggeration. The weirdest thing is the Star of David, literally looks like a swastika, you know, just having those pieces that are just out in the open, just kind of put together into a star. So it's not just that. It's the fact that this is a modern day holy war. You want to talk about the Crusades as being a holy war? This is a holy war. And it's not Judaism versus Islam. It, in my opinion, is the devil, is Satan versus God. And not to get all, you know, Christian or anything like that, but I will tell you, I'm not one that to believe in biblical prophecy like word for word. The reality is the Bible, I had, again, feel like I was talking to a disinformation agent the other day, or a bot at the very least, but I was talking to somebody on Twitter the other day, and lost my train of thought. It'll come back to me. Anyways, the direction I want to take this podcast in is a more positive tone. Everyone these days, you know, it's outrageous what's happening in Gaza with the Palestinians and the way they're being treated. But we have enough voices shedding light on that and offering, you know, commentary and really just really opening the world's eyes for anyone that actually wants to notice. But in terms of actual, what is it doing? It's not doing anything, really. I mean, the ICJ, that court case, everyone celebrated, hey, they ruled against Israel. It's like Israel hasn't stopped. Right now, they're talking about expanding the ground war in Rafah, which is where the southern city right near the border of Egypt, where they sent all these displaced Palestinians. They're deciding to take the war there and expand it. A guy that I admire, former, I believe, Army Ranger, Greg Stoker, has almost a decade of experience of ground of combat as well as intelligence gathering. So he's really opened my eyes up to the strategic and tactical objectives and methods of in warfare that I was previously, you know, I didn't know anything about. But most people observing the conflict today are observing it through the lens of this is just, you know, Israel as a country wanting to do this and blah, 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 blah. There's something far more sinister at play right now. The world you see is not the world as it really is. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, They Live, in the 80s, that you know, that movie that came out. It's almost like if you put on a special pair of glasses, you will see not only the way the world really is, but you'll see who's really running the show. So it's not surprising to me that Israel's doing what it's doing. They're not working for themselves. They're working for something far more evil. But having that said, there's plenty of people that are talking about this and shedding light. What we don't have is a movement of actual tangible solutions. The only solutions so far that are offered by anyone that's supporting the Palestinian cause, any of these causes you want to talk about, anything in the world, the only thing that we ever discuss is turning to our, quote, elected officials and telling them how we feel and hoping that they will then start to vote with the people in mind. But what do we see with organized mass government? Is the government doesn't ever actually take the will of the people into consideration. If it did, the United States would have halted funding to Israel, both in the form of military aid and financial aid, months ago. I sat in a lecture of a former CIA and FBI, pretty high ranking like official, Chalmers Johnson. He spoke at a college I went to, and this is before he died. And even way back then, he said the United States can end the conflict in the Middle East between Israel and its neighbors tomorrow or today. And I remember the auditorium was like speechless. It's like, what are you talking about? This is something that's going on for a long time. He said exactly what I just said originally. He said, you just have to cut off the financial aid and the military aid. Because without that, Israel cannot, quote, defend itself. We've already seen on October 7th, you can say whatever you want about Hamas, but we've already seen that Israel, even with all the money and the military aid in the world, they still are vulnerable. This perception that they're impenetrable obviously was turned on its face. So anyways, kind of getting on a tangent, but to make that long story short is that I don't see solutions. Everyone can point out the problem, but not many people are thinking about the solutions. The solution that I have, number one, it's a butterfly effect. Turn off your social media. Turn off your TV. Stop giving these energy vampires your energy. And that doesn't mean turn a blind eye to the situation in Gaza. It doesn't mean turning a blind eye to any of these, you know, DR Congo or any of these countries on planet Earth that are being systematically, essentially dismantled for the benefit of Western imperialism and militarism. Be aware by all means, but we've got to stop living life on our phones. We're missing a beautiful world that we live in right now. Even with the threat of nuclear Armageddon, World War III, and all that stuff, you know, I keep seeing all that rhetoric online. Even with that realistic, I mean, assuming nukes are real and stuff, that's a realistic threat. But even with that, this world is still a beautiful place. We still got beautiful kids. We still got, you know, beautiful animals and nature and just so much in the world that is beautiful, that is there to live for. That's the first thing. The second thing is we've really got to start living our lives in accordance with God's law. And this is where it applies to anyone. I don't care if you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, Buddhist, even an atheist. To me, not to say anyone's a lost cause, but atheists are close because they pretty much reject even the notion that a God can or does exist. I think agnostics are the last glimmer of hope in that camp. So even, I don't care what denomination you're from, what religious faith you're from, if you recognize that there is a one true God, the master of the universe that created all everything in it and has been here for eternity and will always be here, we all worship the same God. Doesn't matter what faith you practice. It's just what changes is the culture, the history, the, you know, those sort of things. And that doesn't make it an entirely different faith. That doesn't make it a different God. There's one God. He goes with different names. The analogy I use is that there's many paths up the mountain, but there's only one path. I'm sorry, there's only one mountain. So practical terms, educate yourself, start talking to people that are different than you, recognize what you have in common, and eliminate your sources of ignorance. Because most of us today, as if we're Christians, we think the Muslims are against us. If we're Jews, we think the Christians and the Muslims are against us. Blah, blah, blah. Continue on. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So to recap, things are going to be changing around here. I'm going to just be doing this, dropping the persona and just doing this as myself, doing my normal voice. Just really, if anything, this is just being therapeutic for me. It's giving me an outlet and letting me just speak as myself on whatever comes to my mind. Right tonight, I didn't have a script. Sure, it probably shows. But, you know what I mean? In general, just really want to speak my mind to anyone who will listen. I'm going to set up this podcast and others with a Q&A, and I believe you can do comments and responses, stuff like that. Please, if you're listening, give me your comments. Tell me what you think. Supposedly, Spotify in the next couple of months is going to be launching a new, digital studio platform within the app. And one of the things is you can basically have remote guests. So that's something that I definitely want to do, because I like having discussions with people. I don't like having debates. Debate is approaching something as if there's going to be a victor and a loser. A discussion is we're going to learn from each other right now, and one of us might sway each other's opinions. That's within the realm of possibilities, but that's not the objective. The objective is to better understand multiple different positions. So thanks again for listening. I don't have a name for this yet, but I'm just going to sign off. My name is Anthony. It was a pleasure having you.